Good morning, everyone. This is Rob McDougall from Zenk Financial here with your weekly economic update. Today is Monday, April 1st, 2024. Last week, economic activity, we profiled it last week, Monday, for the upcoming. All the excitement was at the end of the week on Friday. A couple of other data points before Friday, however. New home sales came in a little weaker than expected at 662,000 on Monday. Not a big deal. On Tuesday, this was encouraging. We had durable goods and durable good ex transportation numbers better than expected. Durable goods orders up 1.4% versus 1.1% consensus, and durable goods ex transportation up 0.5% better than the 0.4% consensus. On Friday, though, was a big day. Inflation, income, and spending numbers, and the headline PCE number that came out. Investors were really excited at first until they looked a little further under the hood. And I would say the biggest fly in this ointment was the fact that they revised down the January numbers. So they actually revised up the inflation number. So the two-month number was exactly as expected. But the headline number came out for PCE positive 0.3 and consensus was positive 0.4. So it looked like a beat, but actually wasn't. So the market reacted to that appropriately after a short period of time. Core PCE price index, that came in exactly as expected, positive 0.3 versus 0.3 consensus. Thing we'll say about PCE in the report this week, including the revision, is that it is still running at a 2.5-2.6% year-over-year increase. And of course, the Federal Reserve has targeted 2.0. That's been their long-stated goal. So we're above that, but as we mentioned, for a couple of different reasons, unlikely to see us hit that goal. Number one, real estate component, and I'll just speak to the CPI since I can remember exactly what that percentage is. About 35% of the CPI is housing and housing-related expenses, and housing is not going down. Actually, the Case-Shiller Index, we've shown it a couple of months, continues to rise, so people that have low mortgages, don't want to sell. And so despite the fact mortgage rates have gone up, you haven't seen the housing numbers get hit in terms of price levels. And so rents in some markets have been going down, but they're steadily increasing in others. So in total, it's going to be hard to see PCE hit below that 2.0, both because of the housing market and most recently because of oil prices. Oil prices, and you've probably seen this at the pump, oil prices this year have increased 14% since the end of last year. It was a big tailwind for us in terms of inflation coming down last year, but now it's heading in the other direction, and we're coming up on the summer driving season, which often drives oil prices, or I should say the price of gasoline, up. So based on the information we saw last week, with PCE, again, kind of mixed. Personal income was a little less than expected. Not a big deal. Came in at 0.3 versus 0.4. There's some given push and take there in that personal income. You'd like to see it higher, but if it results in aggressive spending, then you might have inflation concerns. So we're not concerned about the 0.3. And then on the personal spending side, that was actually much stronger than expected. So for the month of February, expectation was a positive 0.5. You may recall from this program, this podcast, we mentioned the fact that it was up huge in the fourth quarter last year, particularly in December, leveled off in January, but another strong increase in personal spending in the month of February, again, 0.8 versus a 0.5 consensus. So based on the information I just gave you, the Atlanta Federal Reserve actually increased their estimate for first quarter GDP. Prior week, it had been 2.1%. Now they moved it to 2.3. Again, we've had six very solid quarters of GDP growth and a very strong second half of 2023. So I think we would all welcome a 2.1-2.3% GDP growth in the first quarter. Inflation numbers didn't move much last week based on the PCE numbers. Actually, the expectation for 10-year inflation went down modestly, 2.32%. I think it was down 2 basis points, so nothing really to speak of. But that, again, is the embedded expectation of inflation average over the next 10 years, only 2.32%. Now, in terms of the Federal Reserve and their response to the PCE, core PCE, and the other numbers that we had last week, the expectation is for the upcoming Fed FOMC meeting, which happens in early May, there's no expectation whatsoever of a rate, 7% chance of a rate cut during that meeting. So pretty unlikely. And expectations have definitely reset. We've talked about this quite a bit. Coming into the year, expectation by investors was the consensus expectation was 6 rate cuts this year. Well, it's been reduced to the 3 that the Federal Reserve has been talking about for the last 5 months at least that we would see. So the expectation now is built in. We will see those 3 rate cuts this year. And in fact, the expectation or the odds built into the Fed funds future market is a 69% probability of seeing at least 3 rate cuts this year. So how did the market react to all this news last week? Yawned. Hardly any movement in either fixed income or U.S. and international equities. So S&P 500 last week up 0.4. That's pretty good, but the NASDAQ was down 0.3%. One thing to mention about last week in terms of the trading here in the U.S., was good for us. We saw a return to value and a small cap. So value in the U.S. last week up 200 basis points, 197, while growth was up less than 50 basis points. And small cap rallied hard last week, up almost 2.5% versus large cap, which was flat on the week. So on a year-to-date basis, it may not seem like this is the case, but value here in the U.S. is actually outperforming growth. Value year-to-date as of the end of the day Friday up 8.41%, while growth is up 8.3%. So they're pretty close. And again, small cap has made up a lot of ground, still trailing large cap, but made up a lot of ground last week. International markets last week, developed markets were pretty much flat, up 4 basis points. Emerging markets up a little bit last week, up 0.37, and China was actually decent somewhat. It was up 0.29%. So China now, year-to-date, minus 2.24%. Emerging markets up 1.9% year-to-date. Developed markets, ex-US, up 4.9%. And the S&P 500 up 10.6%. Last week in fixed income, actually a little bit of a rally, not huge, but the Bloomberg U.S. Aggregate Bond Index was up 23 basis points. So now year-to-date, still down, but down only 0.78%. So last week, almost no change in terms of bond yields. 2-year was up a little bit, up 3 basis points. The 10-year was flat. So economic activity, data points that are coming out this week, starting today, at some point today, probably already happened. ISM manufacturing, we have mentioned many times that the U.S. market really is sort of in a recessionary environment in terms of manufacturing. Services have been solid. We'll get the service number on Wednesday. But the manufacturing PMI number, 50 being the demarcation line between expansion and contraction, is expected to still be in contraction territory at 48.4. For the month of March, for the month of February, it was 47.8. On the services side, we'll see that on Wednesday, it has been solidly over 50. I think virtually every month over the last 18, but expected to be at 52.6 for the month of March, exactly where we were in the month of February. Big data point for the week will be non-farm payrolls. It's on Friday. The expectation is lower, so labor markets still appear to be strong, but there's, again, expectation of a little bit of weakening there. So for the month of February, we added 275,000 jobs. Pay close attention to the revision on that because generally the revisions have been down. We'll let you know next week on that. But the expectation is 200,000 versus 275,000 in February. So we'll look for that. And the other metric that we're kind of focused on is the average hourly earnings. For the month of February, it was up only 0.1%. The expectation for March, up 0.3%. Now, we haven't shown a chart in several weeks, but a good thing for consumers in terms of the economy is because of the hyperinflation that we saw, heavy inflation that we saw 2021, 22, and then coming down since then, is that real wages were negative for the most part until maybe 5 months ago. So we're going to have to dust off that chart next week. But real wages have actually inverted. Now, they have been positive for the last several months. Not huge, but just indicating the consumer is actually gaining some real pricing input, some pricing power that they haven't had since pre-COVID. So that's it for our economic update for this week. Thank you very much for your attendance. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Thank you.